Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At 5:25 on Grant and Danny, we'll steal a page from Peter King's book. We'll give you three things we think from the NFL through 2 weeks of action. Get some of your observations early this season on the record as well. Right now, though, it is time for our 5 and 5. It is brought to you by Wave Soda. Simple, bubbly water, splash of juice, little caffeine, unsweetened. Danny, these aren't unofficial artificial sweeteners. These are not stevia. This is not what we're doing here. This is the 2 to 6 gram of sugar, 15 to 25 calorie per can, healthy drink you've been waiting for. Order it now, wavesoda.com. You can get 15% by entering either of our names, Grant or Danny, at checkout.
I use some Wave Soda. I use that coupon code. I put in my own name this time. Last time I used your name, I did my name. Had it delivered to the boys in Nashville. Smash it. Smash it. Everybody love it. I got the variety pack. It's awesome. I love you, Wave Soda.
Love that. Number one, 5 at 5, Scott Turner asked about Taylor Heinicke and the lack of opportunities he's gotten over the years to be playing as well as he is now.
He's from a small school. Okay. He was not recruited out of high school. He started as an FCS school that became a FBS or whatever, was not invited to the combine. And he's little, so all of those factors kind of led to him, flying under the radar. Now, as far as the sticking on the roster goes, he's had some untimely injuries, and I think that's set him back his time. And then also, people, for whatever reason, they fall back to their original evaluation on people. So he's always going to be seen as an undrafted guy until he, continues to do the things he's been doing, but he's got to do it over time. As soon as, a guy like that, he can have 5 great games, and if he has 1 bad game, it's like, oh, well, here's the undrafted guy that everybody knows. And that's, I'm not saying it's fair or not fair, but perception's reality, and that's just how things work. So, when you have somebody like that, they got to do above and beyond to get an opportunity. Fortunately for us and for Taylor, he was able to get that opportunity, and he's really played the way that he's played in the preseason. If you look back on the tape, and he's earned the confidence of this team and everybody around him.
That is such an amazingly accurate and astute point by Scott Turner. It crystallized everything that I've been kind of thinking about or trying to say in one nice little 1 minute clip. Good on you, Scott Turner. That's dead right. That's exactly the thing. As soon as you have a bad moment, see, we told you, first round picks, growing pains. You get more of a leash. You get more of a chance to fail. This guy's walking on a tightrope with zero net. And if he throws one bad pass, it's, yep, we told you. Now you're back into the abyss. Go back, take an online classes. 100% right.
Well, the other part of that I relate to is, when this offseason fans are upset that we're not all in on Heinicke after the Tampa Bay game. I don't really do that. I don't get in on guys based on one game. I don't believe that something's legit after just a tiny sample size that goes against a lot of information. Why wasn't he recruited out of high school? Why did he end up at Old Dominion? Why wasn't he drafted? There's a lot of things working against him. I will change my opinion on you. I will update my file. I'm always adding new sentences to the Word document, but it takes time. So when someone says, how on earth are you not sold on him yet? He's played really well a few times. It needs to be a lot of times. You know, by the end of this season, if he's still playing really good football, I'll have come around on Taylor Heinicke. But it's about consistency. It's about proving it. Doesn't mean he's not going to be allowed to have bad games. And Turner's right. When he has a bad game, everyone will confirm their
They'll
priors.
Say, see, we knew.
But Rodgers just had a bad game. Jameis Winston just had a bad game. Those guys who were drafted in the first round, they're going to keep starting. So if he has a bad game, I'm not going to just throw it out and say it didn't happen. Just like I'm not going to say he can't play. How does he respond? Ideally, we'll get a chance to evaluate him all season. And it's why, even when Fitzpatrick comes back, I've seen enough from Heinicke to say it's worth driving down this path with him. It is worth following him down this rabbit hole at this point to get the most information on him possible. Number two, speaking of Heinicke, he's making his first road start this weekend in Buffalo. Ron Rivera not concerned about how he'll handle the environment.
I don't expect an impact. I don't think it should be that big a deal. Again, I think that I'd classify that under the interesting. To him, it's really about being on the field and playing on the field. He's played a lot of football in his past in terms of what he did collegiately and then some of his opportunities coming up. But, yeah, this is his first real big shot. But, like I said, that to me, that's interesting.
So that goes to the Ron Rivera catchphrase. He has several of them about you should be where your feet are and some other type of things. Don't draw me a map unless you've been there. Or you could Google Map it, or you could do, you know, MapQuest or like Yahoo Map. There's a bunch of different map services.
I like
services.
To say draw me a map to a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I like to do that. Or I don't know. Anyway, but this is one of the ones who's like, okay, my thing about it is, okay, don't make what's interesting important, okay? Make what's important interesting, all right? So that's what he was alluding to there. It is a huge factor,
He's
by
saying
the way.
It's not a thing. It's not important. It's just
it is.
You're interested in it. It's a media thing.
Basically. It's important. It's interesting. It's all those things. He's never played a road game. Last time he played a road game was against like Maine or like Delaware State. You know what I mean? In 2012 or 2013, 24, I mean, a decade ago. Yeah, it's a big deal. He's never done this before. Buffalo's good. I bet you it's a factor in some way. Now, that doesn't mean he's just going to shrink and curl up and huddle into a ball and not be able to take a snap, but we're going to see. It's another test. It's another data point. I'm interested to see it, and I'll even risk saying I think it's important how he handles it. Back to you.
Would Ron Rivera prefer to play this game at FedEx Field?
Probably, yeah.
You got fans in the stands again. Orchard Park's a hell of a place to play. That is a super fun environment. They tailgate like crazy. They're jumping through tables. They're raucous right at kickoff, and they're going to be loud from start to finish. And more importantly, on the field, there are actual differences for football teams operating offensively. Like, sometimes you can't hear that well. You go to a silent count. Or occasionally a defensive front gets off fast at the line of scrimmage. They're even with you, you know, because of the noise in the stadium. Occasionally, you got to mix in various snap counts, and that can lead to false starts and problems coming out of the huddle. So, yeah, I'm not going to dismiss that as just interesting rather than being important. It's going to be somewhat telling. How does he handle the environment when you're an inexperienced quarterback? Number three in our 5 at 5, we talked earlier today about taunting penalties. They've been scrutinized all over the league. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll is one of the few guys that is firmly out on this. Now, he's not in the competition committee. Rivera on the competition committee, very much pro cutting down on taunting. Tomlin on the competition committee says this was necessary. Pete Carroll is not, and he's on Team Grant and Danny.
I really respect what they're trying to get done, you know, and they would like the game to not have that in it. It's a hard transition. I mean, you saw what it took for us to get a penalty there. I think we've opened up a bit of a can of worms, you know, and so we gotta have to find our way through it here as we go. I don't know how other teams are doing with it, but it hasn't worked well for us so far. But it's clear what the rule is, and so we just have to react the right way. It's the reaction of the player in the moment that we have to train, and so you got a lot of guys that have to deal with, you know, those explosive moments, and they've got to really turn their focus away from the opponent, which is, it's a good thought. It's just, it's hard to manage it.
Sometimes your cure is worse than the disease. That's this case here. The fix is worse than any kind of problem that they thought they were fixing. Games are affected. 15 yards is 1/6 of the field. Drives change. Careers change. Bonuses change. Whether we think a player's good or bad. I mean, you know, you look at some of these personal foul penalties, they're just egregious. One happened against the coach's team right there Ryan Tannehill, incomplete pass to the right for A.J. Brown. D.J. Reed taunts, 15 yards, completely different situation. Changed field position, changed the way Tennessee was calling the game as they're making a comeback. It was nonsense then, and Coach Pete Carroll's right about that.
Yeah, there were too many times this weekend where celebrations that were close to opponents were deemed daunting. If they only flagged the handful of times where someone got in someone's face, while I still would say it's unnecessary, I would at least understand. They botched the calls if they aren't supposed to flag celebrations that aren't personal affronts. And they flagged those plays. Can't have it. Cost teams drives, and it altered games. It really did. Number four, 5-5, Grant and Danny, we do it every day at this time. Let's go to the diamond for a second. Kevin Kiermaier slides into home plate. As he's sliding in, Blue Jays catcher Alejandro Kirk trying to reach over, can't come up with a baseball. There's a seemingly a little piece of paper that falls out of his wristband. Kiermaier is seen. This video's out there. You can search it on Twitter, look it up wherever you want online. He picks up the piece of paper, puts it in his pocket. Turns out it was the scouting report for the Blue Jays pitchers and how they're going to face all the Rays hitters and attack them. The Blue Jays were irate about this. Some of the players came out really, really irritable and said this is Bush League and this can't happen. The Blue Jays manager, Charlie Montoyo, though, says there aren't any hard feelings at this point. By the way, the Rays didn't have any problems with the Blue Jays pitchers as they are blowing them out as we speak right now.
He talked to me. I know you were here, Chai, so you saw me talking to him behind the cage, and he did apologize to me. He apologized to Pete Walker and Ross Atkins. So, you know, it's, and again, he's my friend over there, and he came and apologized. So, it's agua under the bridge.
I hate the fact that Kiermaier's got to apologize. I mean, I guess it's a path of least resistance, right? So maybe you're hoping to avoid a bench-clearing brawl or a fastball to the ribs or something like that, which I think is just disproportionate. Again, an error was made by Alejandro Kirk. A mistake was made by the Blue Jays player. If it's that precious, it can't just be just sort of hanging out in your wristband or loosely in a pocket or just sort of something that you're holding between a couple of fingers. If it's that precious, you guard it. You make sure that you don't let someone do it. There's a reason with a runner on second base, the catcher mixes up the signs. They still do that. Could you imagine if the catcher just puts down a one and a guy throws a fastball? That's going to get relayed. That's part of the game. That's a very normal thing. Football teams, I got news for you, they might listen to what the quarterback says in terms of an audible. Maybe they'll figure it out. Should they just go la, 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 la until the guy's done making his adjustments? This is not espionage. This is not stealing it. If Kiermaier had picked Kirk's pocket when he was out on that play, reached back there and foisted it and tucked it away and they had it, yeah, okay, stealing. It dropped out of the guy's pocket. If it was so important, look for it when you get back to the dugout. This is outrageous to me that Kiermaier is in any way being viewed as a villain on this.
Yeah, it's baffling that people are upset with him, and I wouldn't have apologized if I was him. But to your point, he'll probably get hit by a pitch, and there are a lot of people who are angry. You found something. Am I the bad guy if I pick up a $20 bill that's at my feet? I look around. Nobody's around. I'm the only person there, and I just pick it up? No. Please don't drop it. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to just leave it there? Someone else is probably going to grab it.
If it's important, hold on to it.
Number five in our 5-5 on Grant and Danny. Now, week one, you had not yet seen the Manning's Monday Night Football cast. Did you watch it?
No.
Week two. Guy, what happened?
Just watching football. I'm just in the habit of watching football. I'm never...
Do I have to text you and remind you?
I must have. You probably have to do that.
Everyone's tweeting about it. Were you on Twitter at all?
A little bit.
And you didn't see all the tweets and that didn't jog your memory?
There's one of those things that, like, I don't really know what everyone's talking about. They won't tell me what they're reviewing. They'll just sort of say, like, LOL at Peyton Manning said something funny. And I'm kind of like, okay. Is that a commercial
that
or something?
Didn't remind you it didn't. That it, guy.
I don't look good in this one.
This is 2 weeks of me wanting to just chop it up with you about this.
I just like the regular telecast. I just like football.
Yeah, as well you should. It's phenomenal. So is the Manning cast. It's really, really good. And if your team's not playing, you learn a lot while you're watching. Peyton and Eli trolled the Patriots a bit. Peyton was talking about things he used to do because he thought the Patriots were listening in to him and his teammates at Gillette Stadium. Listen to this from Monday Night Football on ESPN.
That second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility. all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there. Oh, little snap count there, E.
I always believe this, by the way, about the Patriots. Maybe not that thing specifically, but you always hear the anecdotes where, yeah, it's the middle of the fourth quarter, important drive, and our radio doesn't work. That's because somebody accidentally tripped up something. They do that. I really, truly, firmly believe they look for every single possible edge because they know the punishment will be nowhere near as bad or as detrimental as cheating would be. I've always believed that they're cheaters. And I would do it too, by the way. Cheat. Cheat immediately. This is not for kids. I don't want my 8-year-old to cheat. But at the professional level, bring me the parade, please. Cheat your yams off. Figure out a way to get an advantage over the opponent and do so.
They might be the best cheaters, the most extensive cheaters. They might have the you know, most far-reaching program. I think a lot of teams probably do more stuff like that than we think. I don't think people are bugging lockers. I think that's a little bit of a hyperbole, a joke, whatever. But in the same way the Astros were not completely alone in what they were doing, a lot of teams had their own systems and were trying to get information with technology. I believe that. I think they just went further than everyone else and maybe mastered in what it and majored in what other people were minoring in and weren't quite as good at. That is your 5 at 5. We do it every day at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny. That's how creative we are. We came up with the segment. We called it the 5 at 5. We
smart stuff. Five. Yeah.
Next, three things we think. We're stealing this from Peter King. Observations about the NFL through 2 weeks. If you got something you think about the NFL, you can call us now at 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines and give us your takeaway from 2 weeks of football in the NFL.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You'll have to forgive me, Darius. I was very deep in conversation with AWOD.
This was serious talk.
Well, we were talking about scented candles. I'm a huge scented candles guy. Always have been, always will be. So he was asking, what happens when your candle burns enough that your wick is way down inside your candle?
Yeah, you lose your John.
Well, what happens is, if you're a guy like me, you've got a wick trimmer. In your kitchen, in your drawer right now that you purchased at Yankee Candle. So you cut the wick because it goes way down into the candle, and you just trim the wick. And he's like, well, what happens if your wick goes underneath of the wax? That means you didn't do this properly.
So what happens is if you burn your wick and you don't empty the liquid, and the liquid rehardens, James hardens, and now your wick is buried.
Correct.
Right?
Although I would say you're not really supposed to empty the, you know, the liquid is wax. So if you're pouring it out, then it gets on the side of the candle. It looks nubby. What shouldn't happen?
What do you do?
Well, you shouldn't be burning it to the point that there's ever liquid overtaking the wick. Like at the, you're getting down to the very bottom at that point.
Yeah.
But the number one mistake people make in that regard, as I was trying to tell them, is it happens because you, the first time you ever light a candle, a scented candle, you have to allow the top to burn all the way across the top. So in other words, if you stop it, you have that little pool around the wick. It's going to always be deeper right around the wick than on the outsides of the glass jar. That's how you get your wick buried, because that little pool is deeper. Because every time you light it now, that becomes liquid first.
You got to go down, down,
and the,
yeah, lower,
the outsides don't actually burn.
It's like a valley for where your wick is, yeah.
So you're screwed if you botch it the first time. The first time you light a candle, the entire top of the candle has to burn to the point where it's liquid. And then it'll reharden. And each time after that, it'll James. And when it Jameses, basically the entire candle will go down, you know, even, rather than having that little pool in the middle. Very important.
Why are you so a couple things. We've been common law married here in this office place for, this is our eighth year together.
Right.
I knew you like scented candles. Like,
yes.
If, on a binary, does Grant like scented candles? Yes. You know, I would have answered yes on this Cantron and gotten it right. I didn't know. But you, I mean, you're Martha Stewart over there.
Well, you,
with your wick
that.
Trimmers and telling them what for, about how to avoid the James Harden and the John Wick, and the, you got a tool? That's pretty impressive to me.
It's something I care about.
I know.
I have scented candles in most rooms of the house. I light them most nights.
And you guys are seasonal with your rotation.
Yeah, so he was asking, like, what do you have right now?
It's
and
fall.
I go with very clean, masculine, white candle smells generally. Like summer, we do a beachy candle smell. Fall is my one seed.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. My favorite candle smell in the world is the Christmas time smell of a Christmas tree, basically.
It's like a little pine.
That pine
gentle,
candle.
Yeah.
Christmas time, I could light 100 of those in my house.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. But right now, fall, right around Halloween time, you get some of those fall smells.
Some nutmeg, some pumpkin.
Oh, just... I'll be at Yankee Candle 3 or 4 times in the next few weeks.
Sure. And you get a bonus if you start getting a bunch of those bad boys. They recognize you get a punch card, right?
Well,
or something like that.
You know, you're a member such as myself.
Yeah, you're a Yankee. You're Giancarlo Stanton.
You buy a bunch, you might get one at some point, or you're checking off points all the way. Yeah.
What?
But I think your biggest mistake is you probably don't allow the candle to burn enough the first time. You can't light a candle unless you got a couple hours the first time.
You got to commit to the candle I want.
Exactly.
What's your stance on oil diffusers? Because that's where I'm at. I used to be a scented candle guy, but I've moved on to oil diffusers.
Hard
now.
Pass on oil diffusers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Hard pass?
Well, hard pass might be excessive, but not a fan. Never used them. Candles are superior in every way.
So where is the oil diffuser on the spectrum?
Make sure I've got this right.
Yeah.
It's the little glass jar with like a bunch of sticks coming out of it.
Sure. Yeah, there's variations of it. The one that I use now is kind of...
Why do you do that over candles?
Because I just like buying the different types of oils, and then you buy the little tea lights that light under it. So I don't use the actual like electronic oil diffuser. Instead, I have like this glass piece that you put the oil in the top, and then you put a tea light underneath of it.
Right.
And then, yeah, it lights the oil smells. And I just like the variations of different oils that you can purchase.
But you could do that with candles.
Sure. But okay. I feel like the oils are stronger.
Mm.
I feel like the scent is a lot stronger.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, where is...
You're besmirching scented candles
so
right now.
I think scented candle, one end of the spectrum here, the Philadelphia spectrum. Then in the middle is kind of the oil diffuser. Then on the far side is like incense, right? Is that fair, Darius? Like the oil diffuser is kind of a cousin of incense, but it's also friends with the candle. Like, it's got a lot in common with both.
Oh, yeah. That'd be... As Tom Sula would say, that'd be fair to say.
Do all incense smell like marijuana or just most?
That's my view. Because they're used by marijuana people to cover marijuana, so marijuana is intrinsic. Mixed in.
Right. Every time I smell incense, I'm like, oh, somebody's smoking. The two are inextricably linked to me.
Like, I can't
drink. Jordan and Pippin, they're Goff and Dan Campbell. They're inextricably linked now, right?
They're eating kneecaps. Like, I can't have ginger ale in my regular life anymore. One, that I drink ginger ale.
When you had a stomach
ache. Every time I had a stomach ache. So I now associate ginger ale with what? Stomach ache. So I can't just, I'm not going to go buy a ginger ale, even though it's a very refreshing beverage.
So you're like the guy who had a really bad experience with tequila or something.
I had that.
And you can't have tequila.
Freshman year at the George Washington University, Tequila and I had an incident. I can't even smell it. Even like someone's like, oh, you haven't tried the good stuff. I'm good on that. You can holster that tequila, please.
Let's go to Steve in Fairfax, who seems to be.
Is he a candle guy?
I think he's out on the oil thing like I am. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, I was just calling about the person in there that said they like the oil diffusers.
Yeah, that's Darius.
Yeah, never spill those things on like a dresser top or anything, because it'll rip the finish off faster. I restore furniture, and it'll rip the finish off faster than even our strippers will.
Wow. Was there? What did he say at the end? A stripper?
Meaning you're trying to strip paint off or strip off
rather
thing.
Than our
not
strippers.
Not like someone that works on the pole.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I thought he was looking for an analogy. He's like, it'll rip that off faster than
quicker than a stripper takes a 20.
Usain Bolt running to 100, or you know, like, I'm like, what?
Like, wait, what? No, I smelled what he was cooking there.
I have to cough. Hold on.
Yeah, I got you. So those, but that's the oil management, Darius. I would worry about. You know what I mean? Like, where are you storing the oil?
Can I count, even as a candle guy, I'm going to counter him for a second.
Yeah.
As if, like, spilling candle wax on something isn't problematic. Now, maybe it wouldn't ruin the finish the same way, but if you spill candle wax on something, it's a giant pain in the
butt. It's a disaster.
So I don't know that that's, like, a win for candles. But I guess his point is, there's no coming back from spilling those.
So what's your concern as far as oil spillage? Where are we going? What's the scenario?
I guess what I'm saying is...
The jar falls over. That little glass thing you have falls over on your dresser. He's saying your dresser is done. And there's all these sticks coming out of it. So what? Like you got your book bag. You know, you're coming back from class and you swing your book bag and now it knocks over a stick and the stick's 2 feet tall.
You're like, oh no, my oil diffuser and my M.C. Escher stair painting.
You said you never used incense?
No. Well, my dad uses incense all the time. So... I'm so used to the smell of incense.
That's real interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, make of it what you will.
No, I don't make anything of it. I what I said 3 minutes ago doesn't apply to you.
And we could talk about it because your dad's not listening.
Yeah, he's listening to Chris Russell and Pete Medhurst right now. So nothing matters. Today, here is your dad's schedule. He worked really hard, raised a good man and a good young lady, and he listened to Kevin Sheehan until 10. Then he listened to Reese Waters until whenever. And he listened to Travis Thomas until whenever. And then he listened to Russell and Medhurst.
Hold on, let me say this. I'm an oil diffuser over incense guy because when I was at Maryland, we used oil diffusers. Maryland.
It's smell test. It's the candle smell test.
I'm telling you, shooting the Sheehan has legs. That segment's a great idea.
What's shooting? But here's the thing.
Shooting the Sheehan. It's just where we talk is Kevin Sheehan about whatever.
But here's my problem with shooting the Sheehan.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a great segment. I think if people listen to it, they're going to think, I'm not a Sheehan guy. I love Kevin Sheehan.
Yeah.
I think very highly of him. So if we do shooting the Sheehan, people are going to think we're joning. I don't want to joan. I like Kevin.
Do we have to offer the caveat every time that we... Okay. Yeah, it's too complicated.
Like if you always... Is it as good if you're like, I really like him, but also... It's... Maryland, favored by 4.
And the Terps are home dogs, the smell test.
Let's go to Jay in Charles County. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, so this is what happened. One time I was getting ready to shave, right? So I lit an oil diffuser, went back in the bathroom, started shaving, right? And I have one of those Nest smoke detectors, and it said, smoke upstairs. I'm like, how in the hell is smoke upstairs? I just came from the daggone hallway. So I'm like, okay, so I look down the hallway, and I can see the reflection of the fire on the walls in my hallway.
Oh,
I'm like, dang, it's a daggone fire, right? So I go out, I grab the oil diffuser with my bare hands, because, of course, I wasn't expecting to put out the fire. And I end up bringing the bathroom and just smothering it with my washcloth. So for me, it's a hard pass on those oil diffusers.
Boom.
I had the name brand oil diffuser. Name brand oils, but ever since then, I had like probably 20 more of those little bottles. I do not touch them, and I avoid those oil diffusers like the plague.
Are you a scented candle guy?
Have you converted?
Dude, I'm not doing fire at all. If I'm doing fire, it's in the grill, outside, charcoal. That's
smoking
the way I'm
the
going.
Bear over here.
Only you can prevent forest
fire. So out on fire. Now, I think if I ever saw something in my house on fire, I'd be out on fire too. That's kind of...
It'll do some panic in you.
That scares you. Have you ever had a moment where you're grilling something, you know, and the flames get a little bit high and you're like, this could get out of hand really quickly. And there's not a damn thing I could do about it.
Yeah, I was living with a bunch of buddies and we didn't clean the grill. And I don't mean like, oh, we left it a couple times. Like, we didn't clean that grill at all. When the gas was off, the fire kept going. And I'm going, oh dear, we are this close to this entire block of row houses exploding. Four 24-year-old men are responsible for the deaths of dozens.
Yeah.
That's where it was in my mind.
I don't remember how this happened. We were at my parents' house for Mother's Day, Father's Day, last couple of years. And they had a super old grill. My brother's grilling. He's like a chef.
You know?
He knows what he's doing. But they didn't have some type of pan or something you need. And so this fire starts. And it ends up that like something in the grill falls. Super old grill.
Uh-huh.
And it falls directly onto the propane tank. And there's just massive flames and fire on this propane tank at this point. Like at the bottom of the grill.
Oh, my God.
And we're all just thinking,
this is it.
So literally, my brother's like, run away. And he's like trying. He's just there like he's taking one for the team.
The chef.
Yeah. If it explodes, he's the one that's going to wear this for everyone. And, it was great while we had him around. So we all run and like we're 20 feet away watching and he's trying to put it out with like a towel and all. It ended up these, as you'd imagine, the tanks that these things are in are built really, really strong.
Yeah, rightfully so. Yeah.
Everything worked out. But it was the scary. It was just like we went
It's terrifying, yeah.
It's a wonderful day. Let's eat a cheeseburger and talk about how we like each other to everyone sprinting across the lawn as grown adults.
Run away.
It escalates quickly.
So let that be a lesson, Darius, about the diffusers.
Yeah, think about that.
Your grill could catch on fire.
And stop with your incense, okay? We're on to you, Darius. We know what's going on over there. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
He does five things, I think. We're going to do three things we think, from the NFL so far through 2 weeks. Danny, what do you think?
I think Matt Stafford's an MVP candidate. I think Matt Stafford in Los Angeles is a match made in heaven. He's barely even involved Robert Woods yet. It's been the Cooper Kupp show. I think once they start going to Woods, they've got Tyler Higbee. Henderson, hopefully, will be back, but they've got a running game, which their backs don't really matter in that Sean McVay scheme. They're running that stretch stuff. He's going to start bootlegging. I love Matt Stafford as an MVP candidate.
I think that the Eagles are going to be frisky in the NFC East. They are better than I thought they were. They get a week one win. They lose to the San Francisco 49ers in week two, but they only lost by six to a Niners team that I think is going to make the playoffs and win double-digit games. The Eagles had a 90-plus yard play that didn't result in points. They ended up going for a fourth and goal, not getting points. You look at their numbers from the game, they're not great. 18 first downs, 328 net yards on 55 plays, but about 6 yards per play. Jalen Hurts has been fine, but better than expected. And their wide receiving core is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Already, you draft a player out of Alabama who has made an immediate impact in Devontae Smith. Jalen Reagor had a nice catch way downfield, erased via stepping out of bounds, but would have been a long touchdown. They might have beat the San Francisco 49ers. I think the Eagles are as good as the other teams in the division.
I think we're going to find out a lot about a couple teams this week. Green Bay is 1-1. They look really good in their second win against the Lions, especially in that second half. They got the 49ers this week. And then, by the way, they've got a really tough schedule. Steelers, Cardinals, who we now think are pretty good, Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams later on, Ravens towards the end of the season. But anyway, we're going to find out a lot this week. How for real is San Francisco? They've got two W's over some okay at best maybe opponents, and same thing with Green Bay. They beat the heck out of Detroit. We're going to find out a lot as they travel out west.
I think this rookie quarterback class is off to a rough start. Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville has struggled immensely. It has been ugly for him. They lose 23-13 to Denver in week two. He threw three picks in game one. He threw two more in game two, and he completed 14 of 33 passes. 19 of his throws didn't get home. Just 118 yards passing is Jacksonville as a net threw for 114 yards. And he wasn't even the worst rookie of the weekend. That distinction goes to my guy, Zach Wilson. Didn't get any help. Terrible protection from the Jets again. Four interceptions from him. Too many chances down the field. Too many risks. He's got to clean that up. Meanwhile, Trey Lance has barely played for San Francisco. Fields came in and did not look great for Chicago. Not that you'd expect him to. I mean, the one guy so far who's gotten pretty favorable reviews is Mac Jones. And he, in his first win, threw for 185 yards without a touchdown in week two. So this rookie quarterback class, it hasn't been smooth sailing just yet. It's a hard transition, man. But I think sometimes we get ahead of ourselves a little bit with our expectations for some of these guys.
I think we're going to get a nice measuring stick for the Washington football team this weekend. They play Buffalo. And here's why that's significant. They've looked at the Buffalo Bills as their model for rebuilding. There's been a couple articles and things written about that, including this feature here in the Washington Post from early in February that I was reminded about. Sam Fortier has a story about it as well. They looked up there, Ron Rivera's former apprentice in Buffalo, the way they built the organization, built the team, found a quarterback, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But they look at Buffalo as the model. You sort of build some things, you build around the edges, you build a nice strong core. Then you're ready to make the leap. We kind of went fast track last year because Washington won a terrible division. But make no mistake, I still think they consider themselves in a building phase when you start to look at some of their commits salary-wise and contract lengths over the next couple of seasons.
I think I was wrong about the Ravens. I expected them to kind of fold up shop and really struggle. I had them at 8-9, 9-8 after all the running back and secondary injuries that they've had. Beating the Chiefs the way they did, maybe that'll be just... In the end, we'll look at it as like a dead cat bounce thing. But it gives me hope that they'll actually persevere and figure a way to get through this and still make the playoffs and be in the mix in the North. But I might have been wrong on the idea. I guess, to stick with the theme of the segment, I think they're better than I thought they were coming into the season, despite those injuries. Norman is in Maryland. Norman, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I wanted to say that I know that the taunting rule sucks and needs to be done away with. and I think that if we get any productive defense or anything, that we will probably win Sunday. Like, Taylor is coming to play, but in all the games, the defense does not support Taylor at all. So I feel like now is the time to have the coming out party. Sunday would be a great day. Great.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the call. How amazing is it that on September 22nd, after two games, we just took a call from someone? And I'm not knocking the call. It's accurate based on what's happened so far. But it's just amazing that we're here. Where he said, if the defense helps out Taylor Heinicke a little bit.
Remember 2 weeks ago, you know, not when they played two games in 5 days or whatever it is. We had a completely different view of the team. Remember that?
We probably will in a month, by the way. But right now, for this second, the thought is, Heinicke in the offense, I'm not as worried about. The defense, petrifying. Craziness.
Weird, right?
Let's wait and see what happens in Buffalo against a really good defense, though. Let's figure out what Heinicke and this offense look like against one of the great defenses in the league. Number two in the the Buffalo Bills, coming up on Sunday. G&D on the Fan. Big finish, including what we learned today. Next. We'll be right back. Nats pregame in 10 minutes. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler. They play at 6:40 tonight. Thanks to Craig Heiss for that update and for his hard work all day getting us up to speed. I just saw this tweet from Anthony Castrovince, who covers Major League Baseball for MLB Network and MLB.com. Listen to this, Danny. This is mind-blowing. Juan Soto could make an out in his next 45 plate appearances consecutively. He would still lead Major League Baseball in on-base percentage. Juan Soto could get out in 45 straight plate appearances.
That's insane.
And still lead Major League Baseball in on-base percentage. The dude is in a league of his own.
That's Bonzian. I mean, that's a product of two things. One, how great he is. And two, I'm not letting him beat me if I'm in contention. If I have anything to play for,
no doubt,
it ain't going to be Juan Soto.
What's amazing, though, is because that's happened before. When teams see a guy like Soto in a lineup where there's nobody else, there's no Robin to his Batman, and they say, not him, not happening, he's not going to beat us. But what's been incredible is that he's still able to thrive offensively. He's still able to hit for average while getting walked so much. Because normally, the Bryce Harper thing happens, where you walk a guy enough, he starts swinging out of his shoes, he gets overly aggressive. It's the equivalent of, you don't get to eat very often, so when you eat, you don't use your fork and knife and put your napkin on your lap, and you don't dab your mouth just so. Like, you eat with no manners because you haven't eaten in a while.
Just starving.
Bryce Harper, swinging out of his shoes, striking out on pitches well out of the zone because he's been walked a bunch lately. Not Juan Soto. He never does that. He gets a meal a month, and that's fine. He's going to sit there, and he's going to... It's like he just took classes on how to be the most eloquent person at the table. I got nothing but love for that dude. I hope he's here for a long, long time. You know my fear. I think he ends up leaving in free agency because they don't sign any of their bats. And I don't know why they would start with the guy that's going to make the most money of all the guys that have left so far. I mean, he will make $200 million more dollars potentially than like Trey Turner. And $100 million more, $150 million more than Bryce Harper made, probably. So I'm sure he's the one they'll sign. I don't know how or why that would happen, but I got my fingers crossed.
What's right now gut percentage? We should just do this every once in a while. What's your gut percentage that Juan Soto was a National for? Like if I
just re-signs.
Yeah, in 2031 that Juan Soto's a National.
Well, all right, let's start with this. 0% that he re-signs ahead of free agency. I think the chances of that are honestly none. Like nothing zilch. There's a better chance that you or I play in an NBA game next year than that Juan Soto re-signs ahead of free agency.
I have been traded for Ben Simmons.
Right. That he re-signs at all, because when it would happen would be after he hits free agency, goes to market, and then he's a free agent for a few months and he comes back. I will give that a, 30% chance.
It's higher than me.
I think it's going to be a really hard thing for them to address
because
the fan
this
base
one, yeah.
after he walks.
Well, this one they might actually really want to. I think the others they were fine, sort of, yeah, whatever, not a big deal. We'll do the next one.
With Bryce, you don't need to. You've got Soto. With Rendon, he gets hurt a lot. Still, I think that was a giant mistake. But we're about to pay Strauss $245, the same contract. We can't give out two contracts of $200 million this year, so they chose Strasburg. By the way, neither of those deals has worked out with the teams that those guys signed with. Mm-hmm. Rendon has not helped the Angels very much and has missed more games than he's played in. Turner, they can make the case, well, look at his age. You can't pay a 30-year-old that money. And I can counter and say, you shouldn't be paying a 30-year-old that money. You should have re-signed him 2 years ago. Why didn't you? But we've covered that ground. We don't need to do it again. Soto, there's no discussion. There's no, hey, but we've got... No. Soto's not... Well, this guy's age, absolutely not. There's one of those players.
There are no factors, yeah.
Re-sign that guy. There's no excuse. I just think it's going to be hard, if and when he walks, to come back to the fans and go... Who's ready to come to the ballpark?
Here we go.
Yay! Hey. So So that's why I give it a 30% chance.
I think they're going to be like, okay, hear us out. Some money now, but defer. Where are you going, Juan? Juan? Buddy? Scott, come back. That'll be it. They'll want to, but I don't think they'll have the cash on hand or, you know, this Masson thing, whatever, whoever you want to blame. They'll try to do that deferred thing, and they'll be told absolutely not, and they'll lose. To me, it's sub 10%. I'm like 9% that he's a National for life.
Let's figure out what we learned today on Greg and Dave. What did we learn? Driven by your local Honda dealer. Racing for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Take advantage of the savings. See your local Honda dealer today.
I learned that my power's still out. Whatever was happening this afternoon, remember it got pitch black at like 3 p.m.? Now it's kind of like dark again. It was overcast and rainy and stuff. Something got knocked down somewhere and I got no power. So I got no idea what I'm walking into when I get home. We haven't done this before, believe it or not. We haven't had two kids and had no power. When my oldest was a little baby, we had no power once. He didn't notice. He's a little baby. He's just doing little baby things where he can barely open his eyes and he, like, you know, we'd change his diaper. We've never done this with two kids that can cause damage. I don't know what I'm walking into.
Frightening.
Yeah.
When did it go out?
At like 3 o'clock this afternoon.
That's too long.
It's a long time, right?
I mean, I don't think I've had power out for 3 hours in a long time, but it makes you think about when it is out for like 10 minutes. Some of these places where you hear after storms or something that go days, potentially weeks on end in some places, countries where they don't have power. It's, I mean, obviously there are people that live without power all the time who aren't as lucky as we are. It's just amazing to think about. But good luck to you. I want that power back for you so you can take a nice hot shower.
I want that, yeah.
And maybe cook something. You'd like to probably cook a dinner, right?
I'm pro cook.
Like to eat something tonight. I learned that Darius, not a scented candle guy, but an oil diffuser guy. Who knew? You think you know your producer, and then you find out on scented candles. I'd already got you guys your Christmas presents, and I have to take back the scented candles now. I got each of you guys the scented candle that I thought best represented you, and now I got to take them back.
Is mine very self-important and verbose?
No. Oh, you'll see yours. You'll
yours
a lot. I was going to come up with what flavor I'd gotten you, like, really fast, but it's not worth it.
All right.
We'll just do it another time. Because I don't want to keep going down the path of this lie that I've already gotten these Christmas presents. For Darius, Ryan, and Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow for a Thursday G&D. Enjoy Nats baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.